Welcome to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast, where we help you in the LGBTQ plus community find a safe and affordable retirement place. Join Mark Goldstein as he interviews others who live in gay-friendly places around the globe. Learn about the climate, cost of living, healthcare, crime and safety, and more. Now, here's your host, Mark Goldstein.
Today, I'm excited to bring you Rick Irick. We have our special podcast today called Cruising Through Retirement. I'll tell you a little bit about Rick. Rick Irick first realized his dream to travel the world as a 19-year-old Navy enlistee. After serving the country, he sought employment in the travel industry. For nearly 10 years, he worked with Pan American World Airways in the reservations department, which offered a flexible schedule and allowed completion of a BA and then an MBA part-time at George Washington University. After Pan Am's demise, Rick thought he was done with the travel industry and was employed with a Fortune 500 company in marketing and sales, until the company unceremoniously dropped its employee pension plan. It was then that he sought employment with an employer that still offered such plans, the U.S. government, from which he retired after 26 years of service. Rick had hoped to retire abroad, but rethought those plans at the advent of the COVID scourge. His plan B has been to return to sailing the seas, which he has done nearly every month on cruise ships since his retirement in November 2021. Subsequently, he has spent 200 days abroad in his first year as a retiree, 95% on cruise ships, and plans to exceed that number in subsequent years. Well, all I can say is this is totally different than what we've been doing. I've never met anyone other than Rick who spends his time mostly on cruise ships. So, Rick, welcome to the show. Welcome to the podcast. You're very welcome. This is going to be a very interesting show because, again, I haven't met anyone who travels most of the year on. What made you decide? Tell us a little bit about your story. What made you decide that instead of moving to a specific retirement destination, you're going to travel the world by cruise ship and choose this semi-nomadic, so to speak, lifestyle?
Well, thank you for having me, Mark. I think I need to start at the beginning, which is my U.S. Navy enlistment, which was my reason for falling in love with the sea. I liked the calmness, the sereneness of being at sea. However, I never imagined that it would be a lifestyle. I thought it was just going to end at the end of my four-year enlistment. I went and did other things. I traveled, as you mentioned, worked in the travel industry, visited all of the inhabited continents. And when retirement time came after I left the United States government, I was looking at emigrating to Spain. I thought, well, that's a nice enough destination. I've been there a dozen times, understood the culture, understood the lay of the land. However, what I didn't understand was the difficulties of visas, of insurance, health insurance and otherwise, of purchasing property, of taxes. It is so complicated, it seems as though they should offer a college course just in that. Well, I wasn't really ready to go through all of those steps, and I took a back step, a plan B, to consistently cruising. And I am in Spain more than most people, a couple of times a year, at least twice. And this year I've been there four times. So I get the best of both worlds. I can be home sometimes. I can be in the Caribbean in the winter. I can be in Europe in the fall and the spring. And in addition to going to Canada, not on ships, but going to Canada when it's just too hot in the United States, temperature wise.
That's awesome. You get to do everything. You get to see the world. You get to live on a cruise ship, which includes all this stuff that we'll go over. So that brings me to my second question. When booking your cruises, do you have a preference for cruise lines? Can you explain how you do this? For example, if you do book a 10-day cruise, do you just book the next one? How do you go about booking the next month, so to speak, or the next few months?
Well, I have to tell you, Mark, I do not do last minute bookings typically. Right now we're in 2022 at the end of it, but I've already booked all of 2023 and the first 6 months of 2024. So I already know where I'm going to be. And I typically like to be on a ship no less than 2 weeks at a time, but typically more than that, just 3 weeks and four. And in 2024, I'll be on some ships for 5 weeks at a time.
Wow. It's a nice day. And yep. when you do those 5 weeks, like what kind of itinerary is that?
Well, I'd like to cruise for three different reasons, and these may be surprising. I like to cruise for the weather. I don't want to be in the Caribbean in the summer. I don't want to be in cold temperatures in the winter. And well, the second reason is I cruise for the restaurant and hotel services that a cruise ship allows. They clean my room a couple of times a day. They feed me way too much food. They wine and they dine me. And the bonus is that this typically is affordable, much more affordable than doing the same activities ashore.
Wow. Rick, can you give us an example? Like you say, it's affordable. Can you tell us more about the types of cruise ships that you go on? Is it typically one line that you currently just use to get the discounts?
Sure. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I have to start by saying that I have long been loyal to Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines. More than 20 years ago, I took my first Royal Caribbean cruise and loved it enough to keep coming back. Now, that directly affects the pricing that I'm offered as opposed to someone who's deciding on the very first cruise that they want to do what I'm doing. Because of my loyalty over the years, I'm now in the top of Royal's loyalty program. They call me a pinnacle. We nickname ourselves pineapples. And pineapples are people who have been at sea for 700 nights over the course of their association with this ship line. I'm somewhere north of 900 nights myself. But once you get to that 700, the cruising discounts kick in. And as a single person, typically, a single person is charged twice the fare. This cabin that I'm occupying now could accommodate two people. And well, the ship line isn't happy about only accepting one fare where they could have had two. So a new cruiser to Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Norwegian, any of the others will be in a cabin that could accommodate two. And because of that, you'll pay 200%. Of the fare. However, at a point when you've passed maybe 340 points with Royal, then all of a sudden, instead of 200% of the fare, you only have to pay 150%. You're paying essentially for one and a half people instead of two in your cabin, which makes the trip, the cruise, substantially cheaper as well. In addition, there are all kinds of other discounts that they bring aboard. They give you, for instance, free internet. They will give you free wine, free drinks, free food, free so many things that it's actually too cheap to stay home.
Oh, let me ask you about your itinerary. I just find this fascinating. So let's say you do a 7-day cruise or a 10-day cruise. Do you, like at the end of your cruise, do you stay on the ship? Does the ship go to on another cruise, or do you disembark, get on another Royal Caribbean ship and go someplace different?
I've done all of the same, rather all of the above. I have stayed on a ship when everyone else that has been with me for the past 7 days, for instance, on a week-long cruise, when they're packing up and getting off, I'm not packing up. I'm just waiting until the next cruise begins. It may be a repeat of the very same Caribbean itinerary that we've just completed, or it might do something different. For instance, you might go to the Eastern Caribbean islands at one point, and you might find yourself for 7 days in that area, but then you'll find yourself in the Mexican Caribbean the next week. That can happen. On other cruises, I've done the transatlantics, which are essentially 14-day one-ways that will take me from Florida to Barcelona, Spain, over 14 days with various stops in between. At the end of that, I can either get off and fly home, or I can continue the itinerary, which then visits various other ports in the Mediterranean basin there. At some point, I'm going to get off and either fly home or find myself another ship. But typically, after about 3 or 4 weeks, I'm kind of ready to go home for a bit, but not too long, because after about 2 weeks at home, I'm ready to cruise again.
So, okay. So, like, let's say at the end of a cruise, and let's say you do land in Barcelona, do you at any times stay in Barcelona or travel around Spain or do those things on land for a while, or you typically just fly home or do another cruise?
No. The time before last, when I was in Barcelona, I stayed 10 days on the ground there and visited my school. I'm in language school that emanates from Barcelona via Zoom. So I met my teachers and hung out in Barcelona. But I have to warn you, when you check into a hotel and you're buying your own food and you're making your own transportation arrangements, that's a lot more expensive than the cruising. So I kind of limit my time on land in those situations.
So the typical retiree really can't do what you do because of the time and tenure you've put in to Royal Caribbean. If it was me and I've only been on two cruises and they were two different cruise lines, I really have no points with anyone. It would probably cost me double than it does, or triple than it does you. Is that right?
It would cost you more, Mark, but I have to emphasize that I have a shipboard routine that's probably unlike that of novice cruisers. Novice cruisers look at their experience as the cruise of a lifetime. And that being the case, they want to do things that I would never dream of doing. They want to go into the casino and they want to gamble. They want to take wild and expensive tours in the various ports. They want to buy upscale meals aboard the ship, whereas the ship's own meals are fine, but they have a specialty restaurant menu. And some people think, well, I gotta have that. So it's easy to blow $50, $60 a night on just your dinner because you consider that a part of your vacation experience. I would never dream of doing that.
Right. So it's more like your home.
Right.
So it's different. I love it.
I do too.
So what type of climate? You said not too hot, not too cold, but what do you prefer? Anything in between? What's your ideal place that has great climate? Where do you like to cruise?
Had I moved to Spain as I would have done, I would probably be comfortable there until it started to warm up in June and July. I wouldn't find myself very comfortable in Malaga or Valencia or Barcelona in the middle of the summer. Cruising allows me to change my temperature so that it's within the range that I like to have it. I like it anywhere between 60 and 85. So in the wintertime, as we are in December now, right now in my hometown of Washington, it's in the 30s.
Yeah, it's cold.
Here in the Caribbean, where I am now at the moment, it's more like 75, 80. So this
Where are you, by the way?
I'm on an island called Coco Cay. Coco Cay is a Bahamian island, not too far from Miami, because we're at the end of this particular cruise and we're about to end this one in Miami tomorrow, which is Sundays. Then I'm going to run to the airport, fly home, and be home for Christmas before heading out again.
Nice. So tell the audience, what are expenses like for you? I know you maintain, you said you have a condo back in DC. Is that correct?
I do.
Okay.
And I should emphasize that condo has no mortgage. And so I'm finished paying for that by far. However, my expenditures aboard this ship are equal to what I know some people pay for rent in some of the cities. I'm from Washington, D.C., and it's not unusual to have a $2,500 to a $3,000, even more, dollar rent a month. That's my cruise budget. So since I'm not putting it into my property, I own this condo outright, I can put it into cruising. And cruising works out even cheaper than living in that condo, because if I were paying rent or mortgage on that condo, I'd still have to buy food. I'd still have to pay my own transportation, and I'd have to buy my own internet. All of the expenses that anyone live in a terrestrial abode would have to, and I don't have to pay those when I'm at sea.
That's fascinating. So, okay, so your monthly expenses are pretty much equal to someone's expenses that rents an apartment in DC.
Yes.
Or has a mortgage
yep.
on a place, and you're actually paying less because all of your food's included, your entertainment is included if you so desire. Pretty much everything is included.
Exactly. And there are activities happening from dawn until dusk. All of these are free. I would have to pay, well, if I'm living at home, as soon as I leave my home, then the expenses occur. Of course, you've got to get transportation to get where you're going. You've got to pay probably an admission fee at the venue that you're going to. You have to feed yourself. If you're going to buy a drink, you're going to have to pay for that. Those things I'm not paying for aboard ship. So in my mind and in my budget, cruising is cheaper than staying at home.
And your loyalty rewards, that includes alcohol too?
Yeah, loyalty at this level means that Royal Caribbean buys my drinks. They pack my refrigerator with my favorite wines. I'm not as big a drinker as maybe I wanted to be, but I have it. And if I don't want it, then I can give it away or share it.
You're probably better off. You know, you have it, but you're probably better off without it, because if you have it, you could have it all the time. That's kind of.
And there's some that do.
But, yeah. So you could, I mean, without even thinking about it, at any time of the day, if you were hungry, you can get food somewhere.
Yeah, you're right about that. And I think it's important to have some type of plan in mind for that, because if you wanted to wake up and eat your way through the day, you could. Similarly, you could drink your way through the day aboard cruise ships. But I think you have to have a little bit of self-control over those things. Otherwise, you'll find yourself dragging home extra weight after each and every cruise, which your physician might not be so happy about.
Yes, and your health.
Exactly.
So and then that will stop you from cruising in the future. So you have to be mindful of both eating and alcohol. I give you kudos, because that's great. I mean, you have self-control, but you also have the freedom to do really whatever you want. If you wanted to see a show, you could. If you want to gamble, you could. Not that you do it all the time or do it at all. I don't know. Tell us about when they dock and everybody goes to see a site. You do it with them, or do you stay on board? A little bit about.
I do what I feel at the moment. We were in Spain last month, and I took advantage of a 4-hour bike tour along the bike trails in Valencia. And
oh, wow,
I loved that.
That's incredible.
However, there are other places where everyone else or a lot of people get off the ship, and I enjoy the fact that they are gone and I have the ship to myself. We're recently here now in Roatan, Honduras. And while others are very interested in that destination, I've been there a couple of times. And that particular day, it was running a little hot, maybe close to 90 degrees. And so while they went off and sweated their way through whatever they saw that day, I enjoyed the ship and their absence. So I can do whatever I feel. And it's on me to determine which activity or not I'm going to participate in.
That's great. That's like, been there, done that. I don't want to do that. You go enjoy yourself. Let me be my alone time. Let me read a book.
Yes.
Sitting out on a lounge chair or doing whatever you want to do.
In September, we were in Greenland, and I was very interested in the small towns that we visited. We were in a place called Qaqortoq, Greenland. And I was very interested to see and taste their whale meat and the seagulls that they use as we use chickens. So definitely on all of the stops that we made in Greenland and in Iceland on our way, traveling between, we started in Copenhagen and we ended up in Florida. And along the way, we picked up all of these destinations that I'd never seen before. So absolutely, positively, I was off the ship and touring then.
Oh, that's wonderful. I mean, you're living your retirement life, but it's both. It's like a vacation life. And because you're seeing the world at the same time, you're seeing everything that the world has to offer. So I give you kudos. I want to meet you in person one day.
Well, I'm probably going to be in your town at some point if you have a fort.
Well, I don't think so. Not in Phoenix, Arizona, in the desert. But tell us, like, what happens if you become ill? Tell us about the facilities on board the ship. I know there's supposed to be a doctor or a nurse, but what happens if people get sick? What do you do?
It hasn't happened to me, knock on wood.
Knock wood.
But it seems to happen pretty often. There's usually someone on each cruise that will require medical attention. And thankfully, there is a full medical facility aboard. However, if they can't handle the problem, then I have been witness to many evacuations where a helicopter will fly out from the nearest port, will land aboard the ship, will pick that person up with a medical team aboard and fly them to the nearest hospital for better treatment. And hopefully they have insurance for that. Otherwise, they're going to have to pay out of pocket for that service, but at least they'll have their life, hopefully.
Yeah, and everybody should travel with travel insurance these
Absolutely.
Days, especially.
Yes.
Especially with COVID. You never know what's going to happen.
Correct.
So always good to be safe than sorry. So do they have doctors on board? No.
Yes, there's like a medical team.
If you get a stomach ache or...
Nurses, other techs are aboard. I'm happy to say I've never visited that facility, so I can't tell you what kind of equipment they have, but apparently it's sufficient to service as many people as there are aboard ship. And remember, sometimes we're crossing the ocean and we might be 9 days at sea without seeing land on either side. Well, they've got to sustain that person until we can get close enough for a helicopter to come out and retrieve them.
I know you have sea legs, but have you ever in your life gotten seasick?
Never, never. I was in the Navy at 19 and quickly at sea, and I find that I take to it very well. I've been in some storms at sea, definitely storms in the Navy. The Navy doesn't stop going places just because there's a storm raging about, so they weather through it. Well, it happens on cruise ships too, but cruise captains are very careful to give those storms a wide berth. And so they will clear course They will cancel destinations at times that the new cruisers are very disappointed by because they wanted to see this particular destination. But in your cruise contract, if you read that upon buying your ticket, you realize there's no promise of a destination. So sometimes destinations are skipped or changed based on the safety of the route. And well, the captain wants to keep you comfortable. So
yeah,
he's not going to, or she is not going to plow through a storm just so you can get to see that your dream destination. Also, right. Today's ships are much more stable and they use stabilizers, computers that even out things. And so there can be a little movement, but certainly nothing like what I remember in the Navy.
And I've only been on two cruises in my life, and both times, unfortunately, I got sick. Well, not sick, but didn't feel too well. The second time I remember, we were dodging a hurricane. We were in the Caribbean, and they did have to bypass an island and just to go around it. But I remember sitting at the dinner table one night and somebody saying, "Oh, Mark, you look green." And I was like, "I feel green." And I just had a, I guess I had a sleep. I didn't get sick or anything, but I went back to the cabin, slept until the next day, and then I felt better. But I guess I was lucky. But there was another time that my stomach really wasn't the best. So well, I don't know if cruising is actually for me. I don't know if it was just those times. And back in the 80s and 90s.
It's improved so much more since then. And there are people that are wary of that movement. And so they use medications in order to take care of that. In advance of feeling any symptoms at all, you'll see people that have a little patch on behind their ear. Yep. And that seems to work with them and for them to make their cruise smooth. But in general, cruising is not what it was even a dozen years ago. Computers make it a much smoother ride, even in rough waters. And well, I've never, ever needed a patch or even wanted one. In fact, I'm a little disappointed sometimes when it's going too smoothly. I like a little action, as they say.
So for me, if I'm on a cruise for X amount of time, 10 days, 7 or 10 days, I get off on land and I still feel like I'm on a cruise. I'm still feeling like I'm at sea. So.
Some say
okay,
that, yeah.
So, yeah. So you told us when people do get off the ship sometimes and they disembark, you may stay depending upon what you want to do. That's excellent. How are you able to make friends? Do you make friends? Living this type of lifestyle could be difficult in itself because everybody is so transient. You have a new crew, you have new people that board the ships. Maybe you have some cruising retirees that you're friends with, that you cruise with. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, in my case, I seem to always have what I call cruise buddies aboard. We often will use Facebook and other social media to coordinate our future cruises. I was booking 2024 before I came on to do this podcast with you, and I communicated with a couple of my friends. And so we simultaneously booked ourselves on the same cruise. So at least there are about 8 guys that I know are going to be on these cruises in that year. Every cruise line, Royal Caribbean for sure, definitely has an LGBT gathering every night. And you go to that gathering, you're going to meet the other guys that are on board. It's like a happy hour, and you pick up new friends every cruise. So I've tried to be on cruises where I didn't know anyone just because I was in that kind of a mood. It's never happened. I either get on board, I'll recognize someone, or I'll go to the LGBT gathering, and I've got instant friends from that point on until the end of the cruise. So you're never quite alone unless you want to be.
That's awesome. I had no idea that Royal Caribbean has an LGBTQ night every night.
every night.
Like, you have a happy hour every night?
Every night. Now, often I don't go because it's kind of beyond my bedtime sometimes. But
What time is it?
Well, the one on this ship is 10 o'clock at night, and I'm an earlier to bed guy. But I don't need to attend the gathering because I'm hanging out with four guys on this particular leg of the cruise that I knew. And on the last cruise, which was last week, there were six that I spent most of my time with. And, well, they got off and some others got on. And quite honestly, I had lunch today with two new, a married couple, and they are aboard and wanting to be friends, and I am.
So, Rick, tell us about, there are actually people that work aboard the ship, like digital nomads on board. It's like years ago, that was like unheard of because no one could use their internet. And now...
they can. On Royal Caribbean, there has been a vast improvement of the Wi-Fi system. Thanks to the controversial Elon Musk of SpaceX and Twitter fame, he has developed a satellite-based system that Royal Caribbean has purchased and is in the midst of installing on all of its ships. The last installation will be in March. Well, that is a much stronger, much more reliable Wi-Fi system than was previously available on any ship. I have met internet, let's call them IT guys, that will come on board. They are connected. They, in some cases, they write code and they can write all the code and then at one point upload it to the cloud or wherever it's going and get paid by having electronic deposits into their account. They have no reason to be in an office. And of course, COVID made that possible for a lot more workers than ever before. So unless your boss cares where you are working from, home or a ship, why not be on a ship?
Yeah, I would. Nothing wrong with that's for sure. So are you able to establish relationships? Like, how does that work? If you're on board.
The difficulty of relationships is if you get involved with a landlubber. If you find someone at home or in a land destination that you like, and then you want to cruise, then balancing those two things can be a little difficult. So you don't want to I don't want to meet someone who I later resent because I want to be out on the water and, well, he doesn't want to go or can't go. So I think in my case, it's better to be involved with someone who's already living this lifestyle. So of course it narrows down the choices.
The playing field, yeah.
Yeah, but you'd be surprised how many gay men are at sea cruising and doing this kind of life. So fingers crossed.
Cruising in more than one way.
Oh, yeah, there's some of that too. Yeah, I have to say there is.
So does living amongst others in the LGBTQ plus community matter to you? Have you ever gone on a gay only cruise? Like all of the cruises that you go are totally mixed, right?
Right. I'm not the Atlantis guy. I'm not into gay cruises. I'm on a ship right now that has about 5,000 people involved on it. If you use any of the accepted calculations for how many gays there are in 5,000 passengers, you'll arrive at an acceptable number of people to get to know and to socialize with. So why pay, especially because those gay cruises are outrageously priced, why pay for all of that when I can live aboard? And if I care to engage in socialization with gays, then trust me, there are plenty aboard to do that.
I think I'm too old for something like the Atlantis type cruise where the party boys are out and I'm more of calm homebody type of person that I think a regular cruise is fine.
Yes, this is fine for me. And all of their activities start revving up about 10 or 11 or midnight. I miss half of the things that are going on since I'm basically in bed by 9 o'clock.
I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm the same. Do you miss family and friends?
Well, because of my lifestyle, I'm home for some things. For instance, I'm heading home now because Christmas is coming. So I'll be at home. I get together with my family and my friends there. And after the Christmas crush at the airports and even on cruise ships, there's a whole different holiday crowd that's going to be on here then. I don't want to be here when they're here. So I'll let them have the airports. I'll let them have the cruise ships while I go home. And while I'm at home, I do essential things. I visit the doctor. I go to the dentist. I do things that you just need to do at home. But after about 2 or 3 weeks at the most, I'm ready to get back out here. And I feel good about the fact that I did see people. I did go to the holiday parties. And I got my socialization in at home so that my friends and families don't forget me. Yeah.
Right. Sounds like the best of both worlds.
I think it is for me.
So, okay. So we reviewed also your eating habits. And they must have a gym on board, right?
Oh, sure. And a great track for cardio in the mornings. I got up this morning.
Oh, that must be beautiful.
Oh, it's fantastic. I love it. And of course, I like to watch the sun rising as I'm up there doing it.
What time do you go?
Well, I'm in the Caribbean. And even in the winter, the Caribbean days can get hot and humid. So before the sun gets up and strong, I want to be done with that. So this morning, and my Fitbit will prove it, this morning I was on the track at 5:15 and I did an hour of cardio and the sun was just beginning to sneak out as I was finishing up, but that's fine. There's a full gym, as full as any gymnasium membership thing that you would pay for. It's here on this ship. I'm not currently using that. I have some COVID concerns, so I don't even use the gym at home. So I practice the very same thing here at sea. But I have my push-up bars and definitely I get my steps in every day. So if you want to exercise, trust me, you have more of an opportunity to do it here on the ship than you might even have at home, given the weather concerns.
The gym is included in your price. So,
right. And I'm not paying for gym memberships. No.
And it's a full gym if you so choose to use it.
Absolutely full and, you know, everything that you would dream of having.
That's another perk. I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, it sounds really enticing, right? So what did you do during COVID? I hope you didn't get stuck aboard ships like so many others.
Well, you have to be careful. I'm masking in elevators. If I have to take an elevator, and often I'll take the stairs instead. And if the elevator door opens up because I'm going from deck 3 to deck 17, I'm going to have my mask on and I wear it in my pockets at all times. I'm not currently attending some events. There are theater events, there are concerts, there are what have you, plays, all types of things where they're packed events, shoulder to shoulder, or as they would say in the old days or in the Navy days, nut to butt, with people that want to see the show. And so they're there. Personally, I'm eschewing those things for at least a bit longer. So when those are packed events, because they're popular, I'm not quite there yet. I won't go to those. And yes, there is COVID aboard ships.
Okay. Yeah, you got to be careful. And I would do what you do too. Why not be careful and use masks in elevators? There's just so many people. It's like hotels. Hotels are so crowded also.
Exactly.
And touristy hotels, I feel like I should wear a mask in an elevator as well.
Well, and likewise, I'm invited to several holiday parties in Washington when I return. And I have to decide. I have to make decisions about what I'm going to do about those. So I haven't thought about it so much, but those parties are coming up. Christmas, New Year's.
It's a concern.
Of course.
It's a concern for everyone. So do you typically take large cruises like you're on now? Have you ever taken river cruises?
No, I like a larger ship. Quite honestly, Mark, I want to have the diversity that a larger ship offers. The smaller trips, like just like those river cruises, those can be, the population there is more like older couples. And there's not a lot of single people on there. I'd rather have 5,000 people, and trust me, I'll be able to find someone that I
need somebody.
Exactly. Just to hang out with, much more so than a river cruise that might have 500 people aboard.
Gotcha. Very good.
That many.
What do you do for culture and entertainment? Do you wait to get home? Do you go to any of the shows on board?
Well, no, I'm not attending shows on board, but likewise, I'm not attending shows at home.
Okay.
Friends of mine wanted me to come up to New York to see some New York theater. And I have a decision to make. Am I going to go up to New York and see the show or am I not? And well, I'm leaning towards not, simply because it's
COVID concerns.
COVID concerns, flu concerns, all of those things. So I don't think it's substantially different aboard ship than it is on land when it comes to being careful around these things. So for the moment, I'm not attending the concerts. I didn't go to the comic show. I won't go to the 70s night party that we had the other night. Lots of things I've done before COVID was around. So I'm not
right.
So thirsty. I don't
gotcha.
Feel like I'm missing out, but people are there in large numbers.
I understand. So what do you do in the hurricane or monsoon season? Do you just go to cooler places or how does that work for you?
No, I'm anxious to go. I love a good storm. So I sail right down with them. And for the listeners, you should know, if you feel likewise, storm season, hurricane season can be a time where you can get some real bargains on cruise ships just because people are
nobody's going.
About that. But again, I assure you, the captain has your life in his mind. He's not going to risk anything. And you have to accept the fact that maybe your destination might be skipped because it's being attacked or on the path of a hurricane. So he's not going
right.
to stop there just because it was on the itinerary. No, you're going to do something different or you might not stop at all. So that's in your contract and all cruisers should be aware of that. But the lifestyle I follow, I'm fine with that. Let's just go.
Bring it on.
Bring it on. Yeah, I love it.
Have your travel plans ever been canceled?
Sure.
Yeah. Has a cruise been canceled? I know they've been canceled because of COVID, but yeah, what do you do in that case? That kind of messes up your whole plans for future too.
I should say I've had more cancellations due to COVID than I have had for weather purposes. I had a great plan to fly to Singapore, board a ship, and from Singapore to go to several Asian ports over the course of 30 days and to end up in Seattle after crossing the Pacific. That happened during the height of COVID. And so that was canceled. And well, I sat at home for that period of time, but I was happy to be at home safe from COVID than finding myself in Asia in an unknown situation. So it happens from time to time, but again, that COVID cancellation has happened to me more than any weather-related cancellation.
And you're insured, so it's not a matter of getting your money back. It's just a matter of rescheduling.
Oh, but the ship line was happy to give us our money back at the height of COVID. And for our trouble, we were given an extra 25% of the fare that we had paid. So that you had that is what they call future cruise credits that you could apply to future cruises. So I actually made money on each cancellation due to COVID.
That's such a bad deal. Do you have any safety tips for our listeners? What's crime like aboard? Is there petty theft or people throw other people off the ship?
Think it's probably safer here than it is in many cities. Of course, there's some petty theft. I don't think I've heard of much of it in my years of cruising. No one's thrown anyone else off the side of the ship, but some people throw themselves off, and you've heard of this. Some people do that. So that has happened. But no one's ever looked at me funny and threatened me, or certainly there are no weapons aboard. Everyone's checked. You go through security to get on the ship, and well, everyone's clean, so to speak, once you're aboard. So we don't use money aboard. We use a card system, and you charge things on your card and you pay your bill at the end if you have one. So there's no cash really to steal away from you. I think crime on board ships, well, I just think ships are a lot safer than even being at home.
It makes sense. It does make sense. Do they have safety deposit boxes at all?
Sure. I have one in my own room, and you get on board, you put your code in, and nobody knows it but you.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, a lot of new cruisers get off the ship and then get to border control and then remember, oh, my passport's still in the safe on the ship. Knock on wood, that's never happened to me.
Good thing to happen.
Oh, wow. I don't know how they resolve that, but it happens often.
Do you have any noise issues? Like your next door neighbor, whoever is next door, how thick are the walls? Do you hear people come home at 2 a.m, 3 a.m, like a hotel?
I think the biggest noise issue that one could have are slamming doors. The doors on our cabins are made to keep water out. So they're made of metal and to keep fire out. So they're heavier than your door in your room at home. People tend to be considerate about that. And or if you have a neighbor that doesn't seem to notice how much he or she is slamming the door, I like to just put a little sticky on their door. You can even do that discreetly. And suddenly that problem stops. I think the biggest noise issue I've ever had was in Iceland, as we were going through fog that lasted probably 48 hours. And so every minute the fog horn had to be sounded, which is not something that you only hear, but you can actually feel it actually.
Yeah.
Vibrant.
I remember.
The entire ship. Yeah, but it's for our safety. So I slept right through it.
Excellent. So, okay. So how long do you plan on cruising? And just till you're not able to, or is there a plan in the future to be at one place, like your condo?
I keep the condo just in case. I'm not going to sell it. I'm going to keep it. I like visiting it every so often. I have family, a brother that I need to be in touch with from time to time. I'm going to cruise until I can't or something. Well, maybe I'm asked to marry by a landlubber and I just can't resist him. If that's the case, maybe I can hang up my cruising hats. But right now, I'm having a good time. This is my first year of retirement. I'm doing it a lot now. Maybe at some point, maybe I won't want to do it so much. But for the foreseeable future, this is my life. I just finished my 208th day of cruising. Not all consecutive. I went home and came out, went home and came back like that. 208 days out of 365 days, which is a lot.
That's quite a bit. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's great. You're living life. So, Rick, what would you say? Are there any cons to cruising through retirement like you've been?
Well, we mentioned the food issue. I think you have to have some discipline around that. I think you have to have some discipline around your health. You have to exercise. You really do need to be more than stationary.
Conscious of.
You can't drink yourself into a stupor every night. I don't think that's good. You have to look at the plenty that is available and decide that you can live on a portion of what's available. Otherwise, well, you'll be on a helicopter and evacuated.
You don't want to do that.
No.
You don't want to do that.
That's
how about anything else relationships wise?
Relationships, as I mentioned, you can meet lots of people. And as you mentioned, maybe at the end of the cruise, they go and you're staying. So then you have decisions to make. Did you want to be with that person to the point where you would follow him home? Or are you going to wait until the new crowd, the next crowd gets on board and then start all over? In my case, I haven't found anybody irresistible that I want to follow home. So
gotcha.
I'm definitely in the group of let's see what the next crowd brings.
It's like a gigantic book and the chapters keep on coming. I love it. I love it. It's excellent.
I do too.
Do you, Rick, in wrapping up, what kind of advice or what advice would you give our listeners if they wanted to lead this type of lifestyle?
Well, as I mentioned, I don't have a mortgage. I planned not to have a mortgage by the time that I retired and began this lifestyle. So I don't feel bad about paying out what I would usually pay for a mortgage or to rent an apartment in DC. So that's what I'm paying to cruise. What I would suggest is have your finances together. I would say this for anybody retiring. Get out of debt. Don't buy that big flashy car in the year that you're going to retire. Don't upscale your house and find yourself in a 30-year mortgage because it's not going to be easy to do both things simultaneously. I downsized my house, got rid of a lot of stuff, and now I have a condo that I can essentially lock and leave for months at a time.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Stuff. Well, you want experience.
Stuff.
Experiences, not stuff.
Right. You want to get rid of stuff. Stuff right. Just ties you down, right. And you don't want to be tied down in retirement.
And don't get a new puppy just before you start this lifestyle.
It's a good one. That's a good one. That's a good one. Well, Rick, thank you so much for being a guest today on our podcast. This was very interesting. One of our most interesting ones because it's very different. Thank you again. And I'm glad you can make it.
Well, tell your listeners, come on out. I'm probably going to be on the show. I'm probably going to be on the ship that they're on. So, and I'm not hard to find.
I'll make sure the next cruise I do go on, I'm going to look you up first to see where you are.
I'll buy you that first drink, Mark.
All right. That's a deal. Well, thank you very much. And we'll talk soon.
Very good.
Thank you for listening to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to our podcast and consider making a donation by clicking the coffee cup on any page at www.wheredogaysretire.com. Each cup of coffee that you buy costs $5 and goes towards helping us continue the podcast. Thank you for your continued support.